that you can put your faith and your trust no matter what's happening. He is trustworthy. And he has a plan. And we felt like for some reason the Lord wants us to share those songs today. And I pray they've been a blessing to all of you. But maybe somebody individually really needed those today. If you want to meet with me in the Bible today, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. And we enjoyed getting to fellowship with some of the church members here this morning when we were getting ready for service, and we were having a conversation about the lions in Scripture. And that song that we sang earlier mentioned Jesus Christ being the lion that rose from the grave. And we were talking out there in the lobby about how there is a lion in Scripture. We're going to look at him today, that the lion, our adversary, the devil. But there's a greater lion, and that is the Lion of Judah. And anytime those two lions meet each other, the Lion of Judah always wins. He always wins. And there's going to be an ultimate final battle between those two when they will, that lesser lion of the devil will be cast out forever. And we're looking forward to that day and being in heaven with the Lion of Judah for all eternity. And those are exciting things to think about, exciting times to think about. Do you guys remember back in May, seeing on the news a story or a headline down in Houston, Texas, that there was a tiger loose in town? Do you remember seeing that? If that tiger was loose around your neighborhood, how do you think that you might respond? You think you might respond with a little bit of caution? You're going to have your kids out playing in the front yard. If he runs by, you know, just, you know, play with them a little bit. I don't think we would. They did finally capture the tiger. I think he was running around for about a week, and they caught him. But I want us to look at this verse today in 1 Peter 5:8, and I want us to just consider who this lion is that is our adversary. Let's read this together. 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Can we pray one more time? Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the principles in those songs, Lord, that when we are in a trial that is overwhelming us, that we can know that you're not going to leave us there. And Lord, we thank you that you already have the solution. You already have a plan. You already have a perfect will for us. And sometimes we just need to trust you. And it's the hardest thing to do sometimes when we're going through just really difficult life struggles. Lord, I pray that the songs have already been an encouragement to everyone that's here this morning. And Lord, I pray for your help this morning. It's been a while since I have been able to preach, and I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I pray that your Holy Spirit will minister through me, help me to just have clarity of thought as I try to share with how you've been speaking to me. And Lord, help us to learn today the caution that we need to have in our lives, because there is an adversary that we face that we need to be daily aware of. And Lord, pray that the Word of God will be powerful today, that you'll speak to hearts. There may be somebody here today that needs to surrender their life to Jesus Christ. There may be someone that just needs to find victory and have a new sense of the joy of salvation in their life. So, Lord, we pray that you'll just have the Holy Spirit minister to us. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for what it's doing here in this area for spreading the gospel. And I pray that you'll just help them to reach the communities around them and, Lord, see many souls saved. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. And when I was a young boy, I went to a Christian school in Colorado Springs, Colorado. My mom and dad were home missionary church planters, and the school I went to was Hilltop Christian School. And I remember one day they had a special speaker come in, and his name was James Irwin. Anybody know that name? He's a famous astronaut. He was actually the eighth man to walk on the moon, and he walked on the moon in 1971. He came to our school to speak. And so he told us all those amazing things about space travel, and there are still only, you know, a handful of people that have walked on the moon. And so it was amazing to meet him. But then when he got back and he retired from being in NASA, he began a new journey, and that was trying to find Noah's Ark. And so he went through all the details of going up there on Mount Ararat and looking for Noah's Ark, and he did that for about 10 years. And was never able to find Noah's Ark. No one really ever has. There are some that they have claimed that they have, but most of the time those turned out to be not true. But it was fascinating to hear about his pursuit and his search for that. And there have been other great searches in history. There's been the search for the Titanic, the search for pyramids and all of those artifacts over in Egypt. But my dad and I were out a couple summers ago with metal detectors. You guys ever done that? Ever done any metal detector work? Got one back here. There are a couple things when you're metal detecting that you want to try to find is kind of a bucket list. One of those is a silver coin. The other is some kind of jewelry. So we were out, and we had two metal detectors in a field behind a house that Dad owned at the time. And Dad had the really fancy, nice metal detector, and he gave me this small little yellow one that just kind of barely worked. And so we started, you know, going over the yard, and you're looking for some kind of signal. You're looking for a tone or a beat. And so I'm not doing this for maybe 5 minutes. And Dad's over to my right, and I start getting this really strong tone. And we go over there, and we dig it up, and then you try to find in the dirt what it was, and it was a silver coin. The Statue of Liberty, 1941 dime. It's worth about 10 cents. And but it was cool to be able to find that. You're out there searching, you're looking, and then, I'm not kidding, and metal detectors, they'll go for years, maybe a lifetime, looking for a silver coin and a piece of jewelry. I went to my left about 10 feet, started getting another tone, and dug up a ring. And it was amazing to be able to do that. But we all have different searches, different things maybe that you enjoy. But I want to read our text again. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And I don't want this message to be super melancholy, but I want us to, and for some reason God has put this on my heart, and normally as a visiting preacher I wouldn't preach on the devil or what he's trying to do, but I have not been able to get away from this text, and so I wanted to share with you some of the principles I think we can draw through from this. But have you been enjoying the Olympics? Been watching the Olympics? The ratings, they say, for the Olympics have been the worst ever, and there are other reasons for that that I won't get into today. But while I was at Southeastern, I love playing ping pong, so I like watching ping pong in the Olympics. It's amazing how fast those players can play. But I mention that because this verse talks about being sober and being vigilant. And I want to talk a little bit about what those words mean here in just a moment. But when you're playing ping pong, those guys play so fast that you've always got to be watching. You got to be on your guard. You got to be ready for that ball to come back, and they can do it so fast. But be sober. It means to be calm, to be collected, to have good sense, good judgment, wise and level-headed during times of stress. And to be vigilant has to do more with awareness of danger. Are you guys aware today that the devil wants to destroy you? Are you aware of that? He wants to do everything he can do to destroy us. And last March, the day before COVID shut down everything, was March 14th? March 12th, was that the COVID date or was that the car accident date? Same date. Rob and I were pulling. I was driving. She was in the passenger seat. And we pulled out into an intersection. And the lady that was coming down the street decided that she wasn't going to stop at that red light. We pulled out, and she T-boned us right in the driver's side door. And I say that because this is just an example for me of what vigilance is. For months after that, and I think part of this was trauma a little bit too, but we would pull up to an intersection, and you have this sense of awareness of, I'm not pulling out until like that light has been green for like 5 minutes, right? And then I'm going to pull out and I know I'm going to be safe. We wouldn't be that long, but we would wait just a little bit longer because we're watching to see what's going to happen. Make sure there's not another car coming. So that's what vigilance is. It's being aware of what's going on around you. So there are three groups of people the devil hunts, and there are three types of people really in this room today. And those are what I'd like to speak on. First of all, there's the victim. And who is this? This is the unsaved person that has not yet become aware of his need for Jesus Christ and is still under the bondage and ultimate control of the forces of Satan. And Jesus made this clear when he was addressing the Pharisees, when he said to them, "You are of your father, the devil." He's talking about that system. The victim is a person who is born with a sinful nature. And if you don't know this already, everybody in this room today was born with a sinful nature. We were all born victims to sin. So he was born into a broken system that was created in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell. It's a system of sin and death, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, and we were all here at one point. Somewhere in times past, we were all victims. And I hope you can say with me today that, praise the Lord, I'm no longer a victim, that I am now a victor in Christ. I've been set free by the grace of God, but there may be someone here today, and you know that you have not yet put your faith in Jesus Christ. In your heart, God's dealing with you. He's speaking to you, and He wants you to surrender to Him. So the victim really has one major problem. You guys have any woods around here that you can go hiking in? We live over in the Irwin area, and I went for a hike just last week. You can go out right out of our back door, and you can hike up into the National Forest. And I do that sometimes when I need to get away and go clear my head and spend some time, extra time with the Lord. But when I was young and we'd go into the woods like that, Dad bought me a book. It was a survival hunting guidebook. And it taught you in there how to set snares, you know, with your little strings and the rocks and the sticks and stuff, and taught you how to set a snare. So I'll ask you a question. If you're hiking in the woods, and you saw an animal that was caught in a snare, if you're not hunting, I don't know if any of y'all are hunters, but if you found an animal that was caught in a snare, what would you do with that animal? Would you set him free? How many of you would set him free? Raise your hand for me. How many of you would take him home and have him for dinner? Yeah, okay. The Bible talks about how the unsaved and the victim, they're caught in the snare of the devil. And I think we would all probably want people that are snared by the devil to be set free. So this verse comes out of 2 Timothy, and Paul's instructing Timothy of a truth that needs preached, and he says, if God will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So we are surrounded. How many people here around the Hardin Valley area, population?
80,000 within 15 miles.
80,000 within 15 miles of the church. How many, I don't know what the numbers would be, but how many of those people do you think are still victims to their sin? They don't understand who Jesus Christ is. They don't understand that He died for them on the cross. And that ought to be something that's a concern for us. That ought to be a huge burden for us. I'm a little bit concerned that maybe even in the COVID world, the church is kind of cocooned, you know, for our own physical safety, for sure. We want to do that. But we've kind of just encapsulated ourselves, and we maybe have lost sight of what our goal is and what our mission is, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And why do we do that? We do that because there are victims of the slavery of sin. They are ensnared by this lion, by the devil, and they need someone to share with them the truth of God's word. That's what Paul was saying to Timothy. Share the truth so they can understand what repentance is, and so they can give their life to Jesus Christ and be set free. So there may be someone here today, and I know we may not be in great number, but some great things can happen today with the people that are here, right? We have some guests here today. Man, thank you so much for coming. Come back again when the pastor's here. Okay, but one of our guests that are here today, maybe you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. He wants you to be set free from your sin and understand what it means to have Him as a part of your life. And but right now, if that's not the case for someone here today, you are a victim of sin. You're a victim of the curse of sin that the Bible tells us was passed down to everyone because Adam sinned. And for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that may be you here this morning. Number two, the second kind of person that's here today is the victor. The victor. The victor is that person that has given their life to Jesus Christ, and God is changing you. God's working in your life. God is doing something with you. Where you work here at this church, you're serving and you're helping to help this church to reach the others around those 80,000. And you spend time with God on a regular basis. You love His Word. You love the songs. God is doing an amazing work in your life. You experience victory on a regular basis. And man, I hope that's the definition of everybody here. But I want to tell you just for a second about the day that I got saved, the day that I became a victor in Christ. I was 5 years old, and he asked me if I move around. Am I moving around too much over here? Okay. I was 5 years old, and I knew just a couple things. God began to work on my heart about the sin that was in my life. And I went downstairs with my dad, and we were at Frost Drive in Colorado Springs. We went down into the basement, and he took out his Bible, and he helped me understand what I had to do about that sin and what Jesus did about that sin for me. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ as a five-year-old boy. And then Brother Holloman said it in the video there, when I was 14, I came to a better understanding and fully surrendered my life to Christian service. But when I was five, I got saved. And I wish we had time today for everybody to share just a quick testimony about the day that you got saved. It's amazing. That moment changes everything. It changes who your father is. Not talking about our earthly father, but it talks about what Jesus said again to the Pharisees, you're of your father the devil. That moment I got saved, God became my heavenly father. Jesus Christ became my intercessor. The Holy Spirit indwelled my life, even as a little boy. And that's amazing. It's unbelievable. What happens? It makes me a victor in Christ. I'm no longer a victim, but I'm a victor. And it's unbelievable. So this roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour, when you become a victor, for him you become enemy number one. He wants to destroy you. Because now you're in a place where you can do something for Jesus Christ, you can do something for the Heavenly Father, you can accomplish something for his will, and that's the last thing that he wants. He hates God, he hates everything about God, he hates everything about church and the truth of God's Word. And if he can destroy you and make this church weaker, that's something he wants to do. So today, again, I'm just preaching some warnings to you about what this lion is doing. He is like a lion hunting his prey, and you are one he wants to destroy. So I don't mean to be overly graphic, but I want to throw some things out to you. We need to understand with perfect clarity what the devil wants to do to you. Peter made it very clear, he wants to devour you. It's the word that he used. He wants to devour you. And you can use your imagination for this word image and what a lion may do to his prey. But as victors, he wants to devour you. He knows your weaknesses. You know, when I throw out that word weakness, we all have them, right? Everybody here has a weakness. And he knows how to attack that weakness. He knows what you're struggling with spiritually, and he's going to go after that. So that's why Peter is saying to us, be sober, be vigilant, be wise, be aware, be looking around, and be praying that the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us will help us to see those attacks coming. But he knows your weaknesses, and he wants to devour your marriage. He wants to devour your children. He wants to devour your church. He wants to devour your pastor. He wants to cause destruction in your finances, in your mental health, at your workplace, and in your heart. He wants to destroy the fellowship and the walk that you have with the Word of God and the Godhead. And ultimately, he will hit you anywhere he finds a weak spot. So we must, again, be sober, be vigilant, always aware, always looking, and expecting an attack. So I'm going to give a Bible illustration. It's one that we all know very well. But the Bible tells us that it was a time of battle. And the kings normally go out to battle with their armies. For some reason, King David decided that he was not going to go out to battle, and he stayed in his palace. And the Bible tells us that he got up in the evening and he went out on his balcony and he saw Bathsheba bathing. What do you think is happening? The roaring lion is walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And the roaring lion takes that opportunity to tempt David. And David had a choice right there at that moment, singular moment. He had a choice to make. Would he be aware that the devil, the lion, was attacking him? Would he be aware that if I make the wrong decision, it's just something that is going to affect me my whole life. Just that one moment. And I wish we could read the Bible, and maybe this would not even be in the Bible if David had made the right choice. If David had said, I understand that the devil is attacking me right now. I understand I'm being tempted, and my lust is tempting me to do something that I shouldn't do. And he walks back into the palace, and he forgets about it. I wish that was the story. Such a dark spot in such an amazing life. But instead, we see David acting on his lust, and we see the victor losing the victory. He acts on his lust. He calls for Bathsheba. She comes to the palace, and we know the rest. If you're a Bible student, you know the rest. Bathsheba gets pregnant by the king. David tries to hide it by having Uriah come home, and Uriah is a man of character, and David's like, go home to your wife, spend some time with your wife, trying to hide the pregnancy. And Uriah says, I'm not going home. And he sleeps on the feet of the palace. And David just continues to suffer the attacks of the devil. He tries to hide it. He ends up having Uriah murdered. Eventually, when that happens, he brings Bathsheba and marries her. And of course, the baby's born. The baby does not survive. Because it begins with just a small sin. Maybe something that you wouldn't even think, it's not a big deal. But the devil wants to destroy. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. That's not a small word. That's a very aggressive term. And he wants to destroy everything in your life if he can. So I'm going to get a little more positive, though. Can we do that for a second? And I want to go to a side note. We're going to look at some verses in Romans chapter 8 if you want to open up your Bible. And they're going to be on the screen, I think, as well. But the devil is trying to destroy our victory. But God just wants to make us stronger. He's always wanting to improve and improve our relationship and our fellowship with God and with Him and the Godhead. When I say the Godhead, I'm talking about I have a relationship with God the Father, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I have a relationship with the Spirit that dwells inside of me. And I've had these conversations with other people, and at Bible college you have conversations in the dorm room about these kind of things. And we talked about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and do you ever pray to the Holy Spirit? Do you ever pray to Jesus Christ? And I think more commonly we pray to the Father. Jesus commanded us in the model prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He told us to pray that way. But there are three parts to God, and we're going to look at some verses here that I think are wonderful verses that will encourage us in this fight that we have with the lion. So Romans chapter 8 in verse 1. Talks about, first of all, that relationship that we have with the Father. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of Spirit is of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, the Father, sending His own Son in likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. I love my dad. He's preached here just recently, I think not too long ago. He was able to preach here. And he's an example, a great example to me of what a father is. And everybody doesn't have that. But we have a loving Heavenly Father that sent His own Son to die on the cross for your sin, for the penalty of your sin. And I've heard other preachers say that I have two daughters. I don't know that I could do that. I don't know that I could sacrifice one of my children so someone else could survive. But our Heavenly Father did that for us. And we have the privilege on a daily basis to talk to Him and to ask Him for help and to ask Him to help us in this fight that we have with the devil. If we can go to Romans chapter 8, verse 31. We're going to skip around in the chapter a little bit. But we have fellowship with the Son, Jesus Christ. And again, I don't know how often you might pray and talk to Jesus, but He is my friend. And the Bible tells me that He's my intercessor. He sits on the side of God on the throne, and that's what this verse is going to say. Verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And then look at this verse. He is who that condemneth. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That is a beautiful word. God sits on the right hand of the Father and talks to the Father for us. He intercedes for us. He intercedes for our sin and for our forgiveness of sin. I think He intercedes for the struggles and the trials that we're going through when we pray for strength, when we pray for help. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 9 through 16, we also have a fellowship with the Spirit. It says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but ye are in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." And that's an amazing principle. I mentioned it already, but the Holy Spirit indwells us when we get saved. It's part of that victory that we have. He indwells us. He becomes a major part of who we are and how we live our life. And we've got a couple teenagers in here today. I was a youth pastor for a long time. And teenagers would come up to me sometimes and they say, "I just want to see God answer a prayer in my life. Just one." And have similar conversations with Cheyenne and Sienna. Sienna is 12, and we were out on a daddy-daughter date one time, and we were at a pottery place, and you know, it's a place where you paint the pottery, and then they put it in the fire for you, and you come back a week later and pick it up. We went out to the car and put the key in the car, and the car wouldn't start. So she'd been asking me, "God, Dad, I want to see God do something special. I want to see Him answer a prayer, like a really big one." So I asked the Lord in my heart right then, I said, "God, will you just reveal yourself to Sienna, just in this little small thing?" And so she and I, we put our hands together and we prayed in the car and said, "God, we need to get home. Will you help us, you know, right now, help the car to start so we can get home?" It was a very small prayer, but it's a big deal to her. She was probably at the time about 8 or 9. And so we prayed that prayer, and I put the key in the ignition. And you have that moment of anxiety, right? Like, what's going to happen? And I turned the key, and what do you think happened? It started up, fired off, and her face went, "Oh, you know, that's awesome that God would be there and that He would answer that prayer for me." And I love that memory. And I had a similar experience when I was a young boy. You guys remember Kmart? They're not so far out of business, but we were at a Kmart before Walmart ever existed. And Mom was shopping, and I didn't want to go in shopping with my mom, which is normal, I guess, for a young boy. And so she gave me a little bit of money. I went to they used to have a snack bar. You'd go get popcorn at the Walmart or Kmart, and I went and sat down on the front bench out in front of the Kmart. And I was going through similar questions in my life. "God, are you real? God, I want to see you do something in my life. I want to see you answer a prayer." So what I'm going to tell you is 100% truth. There's no fabrication of this or embellishment for an illustration at all. I looked down to the right, and there's a payphone. You guys remember those? Okay. There's a payphone on the wall. And I saw that payphone, and I said, "God, will you do something for me special?" And I think it was just, the Spirit leading inside of me that says, God's getting ready to do something. And maybe He led me to pray the prayer, I don't know. But I said, "I would like to speak to someone today about who Jesus Christ is. And maybe invite them to church." And again, I was a young boy experimenting with my faith. And I looked at that payphone, and I said, "God, if you really want to use me, I would like you to do something for me. Will you send someone to that payphone, have them struggle to make a phone call, walk over to me, and ask me, a little boy, to help them make a call?" And I'm not kidding. 2 minutes, maybe less than that. A lady that was obviously foreign, she was dressed from head to toe in a black outfit. Her head was covered. She's obviously from a foreign nation. She walks up to the phone. It's clear to me that she's struggling to make a call. And at this point, I'm about to come unglued, right? Then she looks over at me, and I'm looking at her, and I go, you know, scared to death of what was happening. Then she starts walking over to me, And in broken English, she asked me to help her make phone calls. And I was so just beside myself that I completely forgot why I asked the prayer for me to be able to talk to someone about the Lord, and helped her make the phone call. And that was as far as, I wish I could tell you that I led her to the Lord right there. But it was an amazing moment for me that God answered that prayer. And what I was going to say to these teenagers that are here today, if you want to see God answer prayer, and we're talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and that relationship and that fellowship that we have, pray to the Holy Spirit when you get up in the morning. And you will have a day that is filled with so much more victory than if you did not pray that prayer. So pray that the Holy Spirit will help you to be more vigilant and more sober just during for that day, for that 24-hour period. And you'll be amazed at how your day and your perspective of the day is different, because we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. That prayer fulfills God's will in our life. He wants us to be stronger for Him every day. And so I would encourage you guys, if you've never done that, tomorrow morning when you wake up, say a prayer to the Holy Spirit. And say, help me just be aware of your presence in my life today. And you'll be amazed at how differently the day goes. But I hope and pray that everybody in here, you're experiencing victory in your life. We talked briefly about there are victims to sin. There are victors, and I hope that's everyone in here. The third one is a little bit more difficult to talk about, and that's the vulnerable. The vulnerable person that the adversary that the lion is going after is the person who's saved, they're a Christian, they've grown in the faith, but for some reason, they know that they're not right with God. And the Bible tells them in Ephesians chapter 6, there's armor that we're supposed to put on, right? We've probably heard about the armor before. And I like to use my imagination a lot. And in my imagination, I have this room that I go to when I'm talking to the Lord. And there's a throne in the middle. And that throne is where God sits. And there's an altar around that throne. And that's where I don't know if you guys think this way or not, but that's where I go, and I go and pray. And I talk to the intercessor, Jesus Christ. And then over in the corner in my imagination, there is a stand, and it holds my armor. And the Bible tells us that we need to put on that armor daily, right? So imagine that you don't do that. Tomorrow morning when you start your day, you don't put on your spiritual armor. There's no awareness that we need to do that. We just kind of leave our armor in the corner, and we go out into our life knowing that the devil is going to attack us. When he attacks us, what's going to happen? We don't have our sword. We don't have our shield. We don't have our helmet. We don't have our belt of truth. We're not equipped for when the devil attacks us. We're vulnerable. When that happens, if we're not prepared, are we going to be successful in the middle of that battle? We're not. We're going to be defeated that day. And I'm concerned that maybe sometimes in our lives, we have a day of defeat, and then we have another day of defeat, and then we have another day of defeat, and we have another day of defeat. And it becomes a pattern. And we become so vulnerable that we get to the point that we have forgotten how to fight. We've forgotten how to put on the armor. We've forgotten that, and that we get in this pattern of, my life is just a life of defeat. We come in and maybe Pastor Holloman is preaching a sermon and God really speaks to your heart and He wants you to make a change. He wants you to make a decision for the Lord. And for some reason we don't, because we've forgotten how to have that victory. And we're vulnerable. We suffer from the attacks of the lion. So I want to read this to you and then I'm closing here today. The vulnerable is the Christian who has lost their way. They don't read their Bibles. Spending time with God is no longer important. They've been caught up by the stress of life, and the devil has been able to destroy the sweet walk with the Lord that they once had. There's no longer any time of prayer, where once there was sweet peace with God in prayer. There's no longer any joy in worship. Worship has gone stale and cold in their heart. They no longer put on their armor for the Lord each morning. Their armor stays in the corner of their heart each day, and they walk out exposed to the attacks of the devil. They easily fall to his fiery darts, and a pattern of sin defines who they are. They struggle with feelings of guilt. They often ignore the conviction of the Lord who is trying to draw them back into a love relationship with him. They may even appear on the outside to be what God wants them to be, but on the inside they are cold, they are broken, and they are lying in the mouth of the lion. They are making choices that hurt themselves and others around them. The roaring lion is winning the spiritual war of their life. He is devouring them, destroying them, and denying them the joy of the salvation that they once had. As this is the devil's goal for every Christian. He wants to devour you. He wants to destroy you. Is it happening to you? If so, listen to this verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And I don't know you guys. You really don't know me too much. But I would say even in a group this size, there's someone in here that your spiritual life is not a life of victory. Maybe it's a life of defeat. The good news is, you can change that today. You can humble yourself. You can get on your knees. You can pray. You can ask God to forgive you of your sin. And you can leave here today in victory. And you don't have to lose this battle to the devil on a daily basis. You can live a life of victory every day. Every day. Grow stronger and stronger with the Lord. So if you're the vulnerable today and you know that you're not right with the Lord, humble yourself today. Pray, seek the Lord, and He'll forgive you, as I just said. So I'm closing here, but I want to just one last comment. And this is kind of the comment that we had in the lobby earlier today. There is another lion in the Bible. He is the Lion of Judah. There is coming a day when the Lion of Judah and the Lion of the devil are going to clash. And it's happened before. The devil thought that he won when Jesus was on the cross. 3 days later, the Lion of Judah roared and came out of the grave. The book of Revelation tells us of the final battle that they will have. And I wish we could take the time to read this chapter. I believe it's Revelation 20, 21, I'm not sure. But it says in verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." The Lion of Judah wins. And here's the question, is he winning in your life? Or is the Lion of the devil bringing destruction in your heart, in your home, or in your family? Three types of people that are here today. We have the victim. Maybe you're unsaved and you've never given your life to Christ. And what a wonderful day. What a wonderful opportunity to do that today. We have the victor. Victor, you're living in victory today. Be aware that the devil is after you. You're enemy number one. He doesn't care about the Christian really that's suffering defeat. He knows he's already kind of kept them and they're no longer ineffective. So he's after you if you're the victor. Number three, you have the vulnerable. Those that are Christians, but they're really not what they know they're supposed to be. Their relationship and their walk with the Lord has gone stale. I pray that today maybe you'll make a decision in either three of those categories to be saved, to ask God for continuing strength to be a victor, or to ask for forgiveness, knowing that God will forgive you and bring you back into a state of victory. Let's stand and we're going to pray. I think the guys are going to play a song back there in the back. Go ahead, guys. You're ready. But let's pray together. Father, we love you. And Lord, I pray that you'll take just these words and you'll speak to the hearts. I know you've spoken to my heart. I think